Thank you, Tasha and Kenny. What a duet. Thank you, instrumentalists. Thank you for the preempt of what we're going to enjoy in this upcoming cantata and all the music and worship. If it blessed you in the house, the temple today, would you let it be known by giving the Lord a clap offering? It's good to see you. Is that sunshine outside? I'll tell you what was fun in the first service. We have a ministry for the hearing impaired. And Matt does the sign language right over here in 8:30, or I guess it's 8 o'clock service. And that second verse, if you'll notice, was not Tasha singing in tongues. It was in Spanish. It was fun watching Matt trying to figure out how to... what a blessing. Well, praise the Lord. We have enough in here. I hope they've turned that heat down, because with all these bodies, it's going to heat up quickly. Amen? I already see you fanning. I got enough challenges as it is. So let's make sure it's not too hot. If you would, let's stand one more time in honor of the Word of God and turn to John, 1 John chapter 5, as we begin now in the last chapter of this great epistle. John, the beloved disciple, my friend, and now your friend, writes as follows, verse 1, chapter 5 of 1 John, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God." How? "By loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Is that rather clear? Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you for the opportunity we've had today to worship you in spirit and truth. It has been magnificent. And I pray that we have had a fresh encounter with a sovereign God. Now, Father, as we reach this point of the service, we open up your Bible that we believe is the Word of God. And we pray that the same Holy Spirit that illuminated its pages will illuminate our hearts so that we might receive a word from God. I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, the third now in a series of three sermons, that you'd give me mental, emotional, physical, spiritual strength and go beyond what I can do within myself. Let me step into the flow of the kingdom, God. Let me work alongside you and you work in and through me and address your people today. I offer you, and we offer you, our helplessness, our dependence, and our brokenness. Now take it and use it for your glory. And as is always the case, we do pray that you forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus and Him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. How many of you have heard the name Pete George? Say amen. Okay, each crowd, less people know who that is. So that means I probably have more guests in this service than any other. You're up close today, aren't you? Don't let my spit get you. Now, Pete George is the man that discipled me one-on-one for 4 years. Once a week, on Wednesday, for an hour and a half, at the back dining room of Shoney's, Pete opened up the Word of God and taught me how to live for Jesus. He is my spiritual dad. I am who I am today because of him. I love him. I revere him. I just cannot possibly communicate to you what this great man of God means to me. And ever since, because I was so thankful for the contribution that he made in my life back in the early 80s, I have not failed one month to contribute to his ministry financially. But I'm here to announce today that I'm no longer going to contribute to his ministry. And the reason being is because he retired. And he checked himself into a retirement home, and he's giddy because they asked him to do the Bible study. Isn't that awesome? My man Pete. When Pete took me through 1 John, he says, "Steve, I want you to open up your Quiet Time Bible there, the one you use the most, the one that I still have today, and I want you to write over top of 1 John that this book contains the birthmarks of a true child of God." The birthmarks of a true child of God. He said, if you want to know what an authentic Christian looks like, if you want to know what the real deal is, I want you to open up 1 John. You know, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and looks like a duck, it's probably a duck. And there are marks when it comes to Christian growth that identify people as authentic believers. Now, if you've been with me any time at all, you realize that we have gone through these birthmarks one at a time throughout the entire epistle. You might not have been to all those sermons, but that's okay, because today is your day. You are lucky, because in the first five verses of chapter 5, John is going to offer in summary form every single birthmark he has given thus far. So you can get them today. And I hope you pay attention and listen and understand what the true, authentic birthmarks are of a child of God. So if you're ready, I'm ready. And without any further chit-chat or ado, let's dig in and look at them. I want to say something to you that I have believed since I've been a believer in 1981, and now I have biblical support for that. I am a trained apologist for the Christian faith. That means I argue, I defend the Christian faith against those who don't believe it. I am trained to do that. And if I might add, I'm not half bad, thankfully to the Lord. But having said that, I want to say something to you from heart to heart today, and I want you to listen to me. One of the greatest arguments for the truth of the Christian faith is that you still believe it. Let me try it again. I was more optimistic. One of the greatest arguments for the truth of the Christian faith is that you still believe it. Now, I'm going to share something with you today that makes that biblical. Now, I'm going to do something I don't usually do because I don't want to bog you down. Churches were getting so frustrated with seminary graduates coming to their church and showcasing their knowledge that they actually told the seminary, "We want a preacher, but we want to make sure he's never had Greek and he's never been to the Holy Land." I understand that. But I need you to see today that John himself says that if you are born of God, one of the evidences of the fact that you're born of God is that you continue to believe in Jesus Christ. Now look in this first phrase in verse 1 of chapter 5 where he says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now you see that "born" there? In the Greek, don't let me lose you, that is in the perfect tense. What that means is that something happened in your past, born of God, and it has abiding results up to now and will continue to do so. Take me for example. I was saved December 13, 1981. I was born of God on December 13, 1981. But I continue to be born of God and reveal that I am indeed born of God because the abiding results that continue today and will forever. Now he says, if you have been born of God, the evidence of that is that you continue to believe in Jesus. Now when you see it in your verse, it just simply says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. But that believes is in the present tense. not the perfect. And in the present tense, that means a continuous sense. So what I have always believed, now I know is biblical, that if you have been born of God, one of the evidences of it is that you continue to believe in Jesus. Let me say it once again, one of the greatest arguments for the Christian faith is that you're still here, you still believe it. Let me tell you something, folks. If it was not for the sustaining grace of God in your heart, you would eventually conclude that Christianity is just another fairy tale to be done away with as you come to age. You continue to believe in it precisely because of the sustaining grace of God. I really don't want to shock you, but I want to be honest with you. In my struggle with Christianity since I got saved in December 13, 1981, did you know there have been some times along the way in my struggle of faith is that the only reason I stayed is because I had nowhere else to go? Take a breath. The only reason I stayed is because I had nowhere else to go. There have been times I am so frustrated with Christianity and God's people, I want to walk away and leave. There have been many Monday mornings that I have quit. I have desired to walk away from everything I hold dear and holy, and would have, except for one problem. He wouldn't let me. And thank God. The reason I still believe, the reason I'm still here is because of the sustaining grace of God. And let me tell you something, folks. Once you see truth, you can't unsee it. And I hope you give it everything you have to see if anybody can unearth the truth of Christianity. Truth need not fear evidence. Truth will always be vindicated. You have the truth. Let them come at you with anything they want. It will stand the test of time, and you will continue to believe in the one who said, I am truth, because of the sustaining grace of God in your heart. Now, I can turn this into a gospel message if y'all lost. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe this is the Word of God? I'm about to come down the aisles. Do you believe that this simply contains the Word of God or is the Word of God? Yes. Have you ever wondered why you believe that? For more than a reason than you were brought up in a Christian home, if indeed you were? Listen, why do you believe this is the Word of God instead of the Quran? Why do you believe this is the Word of God instead of the Book of Mormon? Why do you believe this is the Word of God instead of the Watchtower magazine? They believe in their Word just as much as you believe in your Word. How do you so audaciously say that this is exclusively the Word of God? Let me tell you how you say it. Because He who is truth has revealed to you, this is His Word. You know that it is the closed canon of Holy Scripture. There will be nothing subtracted or added to it. It is the Word of God, and all other so-called holy writs pair in the insignificance compared to the Word of God. This is it. Why do you believe that? I'll tell you why. Because of the sustaining grace of God that lives in your heart. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but if you believe what evangelicals do, people think you are narrow-minded, egotistical, ignorant, and Bible-thumping. How do you like that? They cannot believe that you claim the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. You actually believe and say that you will go to God through Jesus Christ or you will not go at all. You believe, as John 14:6 says, and I believe that when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. You know what He meant? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, why is it that you believe that Jesus is the one and only unique Son of God and not Muhammad or not Buddha? Or not some other guru? Why is it that you have the corner on the truth? How is it that you know that He is the one and only begotten, unique, glorious, never to be repeated Son of God? I'll tell you how. Because of the sustaining grace of God that lives in your heart. Because you have been born again. I have never seen a day when Christianity is so attacked as it is today. Where is it attacked? By science. Science is trying to unhinge what we believe as if biblical revelation bows to it. New idealism and philosophical systems constantly bombard us. How many times do you come to me because you saw something on the Nature Channel or one of these other channels that has rattled your cage about Christianity? They engage in what is called form criticism, which is nothing more, nothing less than trying to unhinge our belief in the authenticity of the objective truth of our faith, which is found in the Bible. And there's not a night on TV that they have found some other archaeological find that is supposed to prove that the Bible is not true and Christianity is a hoax. Well, let me assure you, I have seen these same shows. I have now had all these years since 1981 to watch them attempt to do it. Christianity stands today and will continue forever because it is true. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word stands forever." How is it with the bombarding of everyone who is trying to tell us our faith isn't authentic that you continue to believe that it is? I would submit to you that the only reason your faith remains intact in this world of contradictions, in this maze of contradictions, is because you have been born of God, and those who are born of God continue to believe in Jesus. We go home right there. That's just one birthmark, belief. But another birthmark is love. Love the Father. Watch this. Verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who what? Loves the Father. Look in the last phrase in verse 2. By loving God. Look in the first phrase in verse 3. This is love for God. Loves the Father. By loving God. This is love for God. What is an evidence that you have been born of God is that you love the Father. Do you love Him here today? Do fanatics offend you? I mean, they're just fanatical about it. When I first got saved, I drove everybody crazy. That's all I thought about. That's all I talked about. I was obsessed with it. I drove everybody crazy. They started calling me in the church a Jesus freak and a fanatic. I was going to get me a t-shirt that said Jesus freak. I had to backslide to have fellowship with the church members. I mean, I was excited. I couldn't get over these people. Man, I'm saved. And I wanted everybody to know about it. I thought Asheville had to be evangelized in the first year of my Christian faith. Friend, when you're in love, you're passionate about it. Let me get around you for a little while. One-on-one relationship. I'll find out what your passion is. It won't take me long. You know what I saw before the last church I pastored at my home church? I went to a church softball game. You remember that movie, Days of Thunder? This brother, he was a Christian, it came to the softball field with a Days of Thunder hat, a Days of Thunder jacket, a Days of Thunder t-shirt, and a Days of Thunder drinking dispenser. And all he talked about was Days of Thunder in racing. It didn't take me long to figure out what this brother's passion was. My brother didn't get married until he was 35 years old, and when he fell in love, he made me sick with the girl he fell in love with. Every time you were around them, they were always kissing and hugging and whispering and giggling. And see, I'm insecure, so they'd always giggle after they whispered, and I just assumed they were talking about me. And then when he wasn't around them, that's all I had to hear about. Terry this, Terry that, Terry that. What is your... He was in love. He was passionate about it. Look, folks, if you are passionate about the things of God, if you're passionate about a loving Heavenly Father, you want to talk about it. You want to dialogue about it. You want to learn. You want to serve Him. I was up to 1 o'clock in the morning last night talking about the Father. Because if you're born of God, you love the Heavenly Father. But it's not only vertical. It's horizontal. You not only love the Father, you love the family too. And folks, they're quite inseparable, aren't they? Let's read it. so that we can endorse what we believe with Holy Writ. 5:1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father, what? Loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God. Do you love the family? Or do you endure them? I don't go to the fellowships because I tell you, those people drive me crazy. I don't get involved in the Sunday school, the Bible fellowship. I'm too close. I'm telling you, I can't handle it. So you've run in a few of the nubheads that are in church. A few of the cantankerous ones. A few of the chop busters. You think any of you endured any more of them than I have as a pastor? It's a part of it. But I'm going to tell you, when you experience the love of God, you're going to love His family. And you're going to be free from their response to you. You say, well, I love the ones that love me back. Whoopee. Pagans can do that. Try to love somebody that aggravates the hound out of you, that's talked about you, that's bad-mouthed you, has done something to harm you. I'll tell you right now, it takes all the power of God within you to continue to love them. But I have discovered after all these years, it's one of the most freeing realities I know of, is for people not to be able to get to you because you love them. Can I tell you about another mentor? I mean, what are you going to do? I'm preaching. He was my home pastor, Dr. James Johnson, another man who had profound influence on me. He taught me a lot of things. He taught me about the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the importance of it. He taught me about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that this Christian life is not about what you do for God, but what you allow Jesus to do in and through you. He says you need to maintain a disposition of faith towards the Lord Jesus that allows Him to get into action on your behalf. He taught me to love the Word. And I never met a man that could pray like that, and he taught me how to pray. But that's not the greatest thing Dr. James Johnson, my pastoral mentor, taught me. The greatest thing Dr. Johnson ever taught me is to love the unlovable. I was around him long enough to see if this was rhetoric or whether or not this was real. And let me tell you, it was real. I saw something one night, and I wasn't far along as he was, so I kind of got in the flesh over it. But there was a judge in that town that was wealthy, powerful, very influential in that church. And he stood up and dressed down my pastor in a humiliating way. I thought they were going to have to put me in restraints. And I mean, it burnt me up. And I listened to that, and I was just having convulsions. And I saw Dr. Johnson just look at him and smile. Thank you, brother. That's how he talked. He went to the next one. It wasn't that night that got me. It was what I observed of him after that night. Let's see if he writes him off. Let's see if he, that's an enemy. He's not one for me. We'll distance ourselves from him. We'll protect ourselves from him. No, sir. Time and time again, I never heard him say anything bad about him. He ministered to him. He loved him. This judge's family went through a lot of tough things. I often wondered why after that. And Dr. Johnson was always right there ministering to his needs, loving him. It never came up again. And this man continued to be mean towards him. I watched him do this for 20 years. And that judge came to Dr. Johnson one day in his hardened self with tears rolling down his face and saying, "Could you ever forgive me for the way that I've treated you all these years?" Experience revival. You see, when you know that Jesus is quite fond of you, when you are experiencing His love, you can love other people and continue to do so without demanding a certain response back from them. And as you love them that way, it gives God that glorious opportunity to change their life. Let me tell you something. Do you know God? Are you a Christian? One of the birthmarks of a Christian is that you love the Father and you love the family, warts and all. You know who loves me more than anybody else? I know it's a challenging battle, but the one who loves me more than anybody else is the one who knows the worst of me, my beloved wife. That's love. That's love. So, child of God, we're having fun yet? The birthmarks is what? Belief. Love. And then here's the one Christians really love. Obedience. Let's look at that one. Verse 2. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. Watch this. And His commands are not burdensome. Did I just read that? They're not burdensome? Watch Christians. You know what kind of image they got of God? He's got this whip drawn back. Come on, have a little fun. Please, have a little fun so I can snap this on your back. What kind of view of God do we have? Listen, did God not create this world? Did God not create you? Does He not know where the landmines are? Don't you think that He is trying to direct you how to live so that you can enter into the greatest of His joy? Do you really think obedience leads to freedom? You've bought the farm, friend. Freedom leads to obedience. You have an experiential knowledge of love. You want to respond to a God loving you by loving Him, and that's obedience. It really drives me crazy to hear this. The new Christians of today talk about legalism as if they know what they're talking about. Anymore, it seems if you just simply obey the Word of God, that's legalism. That's not legalism, folks. Legalism is when you've traded in a love relationship with Jesus for a list of do's and don'ts that you just establish a pecking order to see how spiritual everybody else is, and it's always the do's and don'ts that you're strong at. This is not a... We don't have a relationship with a doctrine or a proposition. We have a relationship with a person. It's a love relationship. And when the Father is loving you, it is natural to respond to Him in love. Now, why in the world then? Why is obedience not burdensome? Well, first of all, because you have the ability within you to walk with God. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into your heart, regenerated all your deadness towards God, gave you the work and equipment. Now you can cooperate with God. And now He lives within you to supply you with continuous enabling grace to live for Him. And so you have the ability. But beyond the ability to obey, you also have a desire. Because when God loves you, the natural response is to love Him. And that's why Scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. And that's what obedience is all about. I hope you get that one. Well, the birthmarks of a true child of God: belief, love, obedience. And one more. You will overcome the world. Verses 4 and 5. You ready? For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You're not saved because you persevere. You persevere because you're saved. Think about it. I will overcome. Hey, preacher, you don't know what will happen in your life. You don't know what kind of devastating thing will nail you. You don't know what you have to go through. How do you know you'll overcome? Because I'm an overcomer. He who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Faithful is He who called you, and He'll do it. I will make it home before the dark because He has promised. And it won't be because of my determination, and I'm awfully determined. It'll be because of God Almighty guarantees it and will grace me right on in to the consummate state. How's that? So do you love me? Better get used to me because you're going to be spending eternity with Stevie Boy. See, God saves a few like me just to aggravate the rest of you. You overcome. What will you overcome? I overcome sin. You ever have besetting sins you just can't get around, just can't get beyond? You think they've just conquered you and you despair of ever being able to overcome them? Don't worry about it. You overcome it. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. The man who does the will of God lives forever. Sin will not conquer you. You will conquer it because you live in the overcomer. Heresy won't get you. You know, years ago I could share the gospel and an individual would sit down, keep their mouth shut until I got finished with the presentation. Then they'd decide whether or not they'd want to accept it or reject it. Those days are over. Now they got questions. Now you got to defend it. Now you got to present a case. And it's because of all these system of thoughts that are coming at them. They live in a pluralistic society. Truth is relative. It's post-modernity. Your truth is good as my truth. My truth is good as your truth. Let's just hold hands and walk off in the sunset together. And we don't have that option. And sometimes even those of us who claim to be Bible believers can't even agree on what the gospel is. Listen, you will overcome untruth and heresy because you're in the one who said, I am truth. Hallelujah. You overcome persecution. Hey, guess what, sports fans? Not everybody likes you. That's right. Can you believe this? Not everybody likes me. I am totally convinced if you don't like me, it is a spiritual deficiency in you. But I had to make a decision a long time ago. If I've seen truth, I can't unsee it. And I've got to share it with you with everything I have in me. My life has to be given to the Lord and to sharing the truth despite my cost. It might cost me a relationship. It might cost me a job. It might cost me my life. But I have found something that is worth all that. His name is Jesus. And I'm absolutely convinced that I'll be doing what I'm doing until God gets through with me. You see, God knows when my time's up. And until that time, there's not a devil in hell that can kill me. Also, until that time, or if it is my time, there's not an angel in heaven to keep me alive. But I know that I will finish my course because I'm trusting in a sovereign God who will make sure of it. And when He's through with me, I will go home and He promises to take me home before the dark. My prayer is that my family, my son, my daughter, this church of which I've been given charge, will be able to testify. I'll tell you one thing. He believed in what He preached. He lived it to the very end. That's my goal. That's my one thing. Now, you born of God? You're still here, aren't you? Some of you say, well, I was gone for a while. I was all defeated. But you're back, aren't you? And you're still here. You love the Father, the family? Obedience? Are you trusting Him to overcome the world? That's your heritage. So what's the final question? What is your heritage? It can be Jesus Christ. I adjure you, on behalf of the Christ we serve, be reconciled to God. Let's stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for the truth. Thank You for a fellowship that loves You and the family. Father, if there is anyone here who has questions about the faith, would You give them the courage to seek Me out, to speak to Me? It's what I give my life for. I'll take all the time that's necessary. Someone needs a family to love them, along with the rest of us who love You. Give them that courage. Let them call Temple Baptist Church my home. Father, if there's just a special need, someone needs love or prayer, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would grant freedom at this invitation time. We commit it to You. And all of God's people said, amen.